Hello and welcome to the Ruining It Formula One podcast. I'm your host, Ellie Ledwell, and I'm joined by my co-host,
Harry McKay.
Right, Brazil? What a race we had on our hands.
So, return of the sprint race. I feel like our audience know our opinions on these, but yeah. This possibly shook up the formula a little bit.
It could have converted us.
Well, I think I'm converted. I don't know if I'm converted to sprint races or I'm just, it's reinstated my love for Brazil and Interlagos,
yes.
You know?
Yes, it is a good track. It had a good race last year as well. It always seems to bring the excitement and the crowd's always very, very loud, very
positive,
warm.
Happy, yeah, you know, so. Always good crowd. So, you know, I think having a sprint race on tracks that are great for overtaking means that you're getting like a third extra of a good race.
Yeah.
You know, we're getting more of Brazil. But I still think you get that tease of something more to come.
Yes.
And then in the actual race, you've just reverted, you know, the order back a bit, like to what it should have been. Like, so we had a pretty crazy qualifying with Kevin Magnussen becoming the first Danish driver to take pole position.
Yeah, the 24th different country to have a pole position. And I see what you mean when you then have the sprint race. He then fell down the order in the sprint race. So he had one race and an extra third of a race to hold on to his grid position. Whereas at a normal race, he would have had less time to lose it, if that makes sense.
I did see the counter to that was during the sprint race, I think he did pick up a point or two. Whereas, obviously, in the full race, he didn't make it to the end.
Yes.
He didn't finish. So, in that sense, it does give you a chance to out-qualify your position and then have a much shorter lap to hold on to that with no pit stops. So, just pure driving ability.
And I guess then also the increased points, because last year it was 3-2-1 and now it starts from 8 points going down. So, I guess that's then increasing the racing for the sprint races because there's more points on the line. And with the championships, some of the positions are so close, the sprint races have come into play a bit more, I guess. And then even though he did drop down, he still did get some points. And for Haas, like, any points are good points.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that could be the difference between sort of 8th and 9th in the championship.
Yeah, it's
so
very close. There's only a few points in it, so everyone matters.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so, that is a good point.
Yeah, so in that sense, I think it's good. That the points change is definitely a better move forward. And I think continuing to review it every year.
Yes, because next year there's going to be 6 sprint races. And if there's 8 points for each race, points for each sprint race, and you were, if you did win all of them, not that I think anyone would, that'd be quite the dominant car, but you're then looking at similar points for 2 race wins.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of points.
Yeah, no, it's becoming more and more important in defining championships.
Yeah.
Obviously, it was so tight last season where one of those going the other way would have, you know, could have had a big impact. But if it's going to be on great racetracks, people might get, you know, like we're saying, a little bit more positive because you're seeing more good racing, which is really, at the end of the day, what everyone wants. But if you're having these become a major staple and you're having an increase in street tracks and then you're having these sprint races, which is just an extra third race on a not very good racetrack with not a lot of overtaking, people playing it safe.
Yeah, a sprint race at Miami or Monaco just wouldn't work because there'd be no incentive, there'd be no change in positions. Yeah. And I guess they just bring in more revenue for the sport, but with the budget caps, if your car gets damaged or you have a crash or an engine problem, with the budget caps increasing the amount of sprint races, it could make it then more difficult for drivers to compete in all of them.
Yeah, or even just playing it really safe to not, because I mean, especially the top 8, maybe they're not going to risk losing those points, especially when you're only going to gain maybe 1 for each position. It's sort of 3 points for how you've qualified. So Yeah, I think it's an interesting thing to keep an eye out. I'm sure we'll talk about it a lot more next season if there's double the amount. But I'm not sold. I'm not sold just yet.
I'm on the fence, but this was a good exhibition for it. I think it showed how they can be good. Should we get in and break it down a bit then? So Kevin Magnussen, as we said, he started on pole. It was an interesting qualifying with the conditions. It started off a bit drier, got a bit wetter, and then the final run in Q3, not everybody was going out towards the end because it had gotten too wet. I know Hamilton, he went one lap around the track, but he was like, I'm not improving. So that's why he, I guess, ended up down in eighth. And Magnussen, it's a bit of luck, but it's also the skill to get up into first. We saw it with George when he was in the Williams qualifying in second, you know. So it can
the car
happen.
Definitely was a lot better than it had been. Obviously, that bit of luck of being on the track at the right time, but he did drive fantastically.
Yes.
Same through the sprint race. He did everything he could, obviously, with the slower car compared to the rest of them. But I think, you know, he has shown he's outclassed Schumacher, which obviously was a more experienced driver you would expect, but he has shown that and he consistently has shown that.
I guess because when Mick was in his first year, he's partnered with Mazepin, so Mick was looking like a better driver then because he was compared against somebody who was not very good, shall we say. And I guess now that he's up against someone more experienced, it's really shown the gulf in class that there currently is. Obviously, Mick's young and everything. Who knows where that's going to go? But
I would still like to give him another shot, but another year. But unfortunately, that's not going to happen. So at least not yet.
Yeah. So lap one, filled with an incident. Ocon and Alonso made contact early at turn four. And this did result in I think the team were quite annoyed. I think the drivers were quite annoyed. Because it's been brewing, the Ocon-Alonso kind of drama.
Yeah, inter-team beef kind of relationship. I think there is a pattern with both of these drivers. I mean, they're both quite hot-headed. They're both known for having quite big rivalries. Obviously, Ocon and Perez when they were teammates. Alonso and I think pretty much anyone.
Everyone. Hamilton.
Yeah. So it's kind of been, as someone who's not, you know, an Alpine supporter who, you know, I mean, I like Alonso. I think it's great that he's still doing it at the age he is. But as sort of an outsider on it, I find it quite entertaining.
It is, definitely.
The Force India days with Ocon, I mean, that was, I just loved it because it was just drama on the track. And, you know, I really appreciated that. But I think for the inter-team kind of relationships, they can't be happy with that. I know Alonso's not happy with that, Ocon's not happy with that, but there's no changes being made.
I guess it's near the end of the season and Alonso's moving on now to a different team, so I guess it doesn't matter too much, but it has produced a few collisions, a few accidents, and it must have been quite expensive for the team because this lap one incident, it damaged Ocon's side pod, and that was obviously expensive, and Alonso ended up with a 5-second penalty and 2 penalty points.
Yeah.
And that dropped him right the way down. And obviously their championship battle with McLaren after the sprint race, McLaren managed to close up the gap to 4 or 5 points, I think it was.
Really
they
close.
Closed up by 2 or 3 points because of this incident.
Yeah, there was no other team involved, nothing. It was just self-sabotage, really, on quite a big sort of championship defining or you know place in the championship defining moment.
And with the way that the money is distributed, that place in the championship is worth millions of pounds.
Yes. Yeah. So I think the only thing where I'd be wanting to clamp down on it as a team is you've got next year the sort of will that relationship work with Gasly and Ocon?
Yeah, because they're
hanging
known
over you.
They're known not to be friends.
Yeah.
So they've had issues since karting days, isn't it? They're from the same country, the same part of the country, the same region, you know. They're
pretty much the same street, I think. They're you know, two French drivers from the same place fighting for the same sponsorships, the same places, you're going to have that drama. And to then end up in the same team, you need that discipline with Ocon already being there to say, hey, this is not acceptable behaviour. If they'd sort of clamped down now, I think it would make next year a lot easier.
Yeah, if they get the children under control.
Yeah, literally.
So by lap three, Kevin Magnussen had been overtaken, and it's kind of evident that he doesn't have the pace to play with the big boys. And Max
making it to lap three was impressive, really. Yeah,
and Max took over the lead. There was another team-on-team crash with Stroll and Vettel. Stroll forced Seb onto the grass. I remember watching it, and you see all the dirt getting kicked up and that. It looks a bit more dramatic, but you hit a stone down there and gets kicked up. You know,
And it wasn't a little bit forcing him off. It was a sweeping around the corner onto a straight and just... Like, is Stroll going to straighten up? Is he going to straighten up? Nope. Forcing him all the way wide, straight off the track. And it's just a classic Stroll move, really, isn't it?
He did get a 10-second penalty for that, which I think is fair enough because it was dangerous and it was reckless. Yeah.
And it wasn't like a little bit on a tight corner. It was, it seemed quite intentional.
It seemed
back out of here or you're in the wall.
Yeah. So a lot of teammates not being best friends this weekend. Yeah.
Getting closer to the end, I think, and everyone's getting a bit angsty. You've got drivers who are, this is the last few races in the sport, either for the foreseeable or forever, in Vettel's case. So I think people are going to be giving it their all.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, especially for the drivers who are not going to be in the sport next year. So lap 15, Russell got past Max for P1, which was, I think... a bit surprising that the Mercedes kind of had that pace. They were quick, in qualifying, but then Lewis was qualifying down in eighth. But they did show good race pace. I think some people suggested the temperature had changed from qualifying and their car seemed better set up for it and they were handling the tyres better.
And there was a tyre difference. I believe they had the
softs and Max was on the medium. Yeah. But at the end of the sprint race, when they looked at the tyres, Max had more degradation on the mediums than the Mercedes had on the softs, which is quite something.
Yeah, it just felt like the mediums weren't really working. And I think they didn't have an extra pair of softs, so they wanted to use the mediums to save it for the race. But obviously that gamble didn't pay off. But then the pace wasn't really there all weekend for Red Bulls.
No, I'm not sure why. Maybe they've got everything wrapped up. They didn't feel the need to have their... Like how we saw Ferrari last weekend were turned down their engines. Maybe it was similar this week. We don't know with that. But on lap 19, Sainz did manage to get past Verstappen. And it did cause some front wing damage to Verstappen's car. But there was no penalty. It was just deemed as a racing incident.
Pretty clear-cut racing incident.
Yeah, because it was the rear of Sainz's car, so I guess he can't really...
No,
He doesn't know where the
Your rear is already planted there, and it's...
And then on lap 24, a checkered flag comes out, but there's still a bit of clearing up to do after the race, which I guess in a 24-lap race, it's short, you can't make all the decisions, but I am not much a fan of... when it's like, oh, we'll investigate this after the race. It feels like if you're losing 5 seconds time at the end of the race, that's bigger than losing 5 seconds in a pit stop in terms of like a grid position you're losing out on. And I think when you add it on to the time at the end, it's a bit different.
Yeah, we've talked about this before, our dislike of doing this after the race. And I think... if they can throw everything into trying to make these decisions, because often they take a bit more working out of interviewing with the drivers, but it's just that another criticism of the sprint of because it's so short, you don't have the time to do it necessarily.
I think they should have more drive-through penalties or stop-and-go penalties like how they used to.
Yeah, we don't really have that.
There used to be quite a lot of, oh, you've got to drive through the pit lane at the reduced speed, but now you don't really get much of that. Maybe you're losing too much time because I guess that's a 20-second penalty as opposed to a 10-second penalty. But
maybe we haven't seen anything big enough, but then you sort of think, like, what would be big enough 10 seconds seems to be pretty much the maximum they'd be giving out.
There was so the Alonso incident was investigated after the race, but there was also a bit of a weird one with Hamilton, Ricciardo and Joe. They were all investigated for a start procedure infringement. Maybe they were out of their box.
I think it was not quite. They weren't. They were out of their box. I think they weren't quite in it, but there was no punishment because apparently the white lines were not the right size.
Yeah, I saw that because they had to repaint them for the race. Which how
in,
can
in
that...
a sport where milliseconds matter, right? In a sport where every like thing is calibrated to the finest measurements, how have you not painted the grid right?
It is so confusing.
It's just typical sort of lack of professionalism that you come to expect from these kind of things. But anyway, there was no punishment for him, so it was cleared up. But yeah,
and that gave Mercedes the front row lockout, with Carlos Sainz having a penalty for an engine replacement. But it did look a bit, is Hamilton going to get dropped down? But obviously nothing happened, so Mercedes were lining up 1-2 for the race, which is incredible.
Yeah.
I, on Friday, when we watched qualifying, I said, Mercedes 1-2, and you laughed at me. And then, okay, that didn't happen on the Friday, but it did happen on the Saturday.
But, yeah, I mean, can you blame me? I feel like you've been saying that every week, so, you know, a broken clock and all that, but... no, a great recovery.
A broken Ellie's
pace,
right twice
really.
A season. All right. Oh. So the sprint race overall, what are you going to rank it like out of 10?
For racing, for excitement, this is a 9 or 10. It was everything you could expect, and that's not taking the format into consideration there. But it was great. It was great. It was a third of a lap of a distance of a normal race, but it was easily in the better sort of third of races this season, maybe even top five, like just that alone. It was, you know, the track is great. Track is great and the drivers delivered.
Yeah, and the crowd as well.
Yeah.
Party atmosphere always in Brazil, and that's a good one. Because with COVID and stuff, it's nice to be able to go and actually celebrate a bit and have all the fans at the end of the race running onto the track. I missed that quite a lot.
And they have quite adopted Hamilton, so
he is an honorary citizen now, so it's effectively a home race for him.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure why, no Brazilian on the grid, but I didn't think that they liked him for the whole Felipe Massa championship 2008, whatever.
But they've clearly gotten over that, so...
So this did change up the grid, the sprint race. We went from having, I guess, more of a normal kind of order to then dropping the Alpines down to 16th and 17th. Obviously, Fernando Alonso did have that 5-second penalty to add on, but that was quite a big swing for the championship. Points wise at that point weekend.
Yeah, they did close up.
Yes. So the race was, I thought it was one of the best races we've had. Maybe the best race we've had this season.
Yeah.
So the whole weekend delivered for us.
It was exciting. It had, I mean, you say Mercedes, but if you just look at the season, it's an unexpected winner.
Yeah.
It's a good, you know, good moment for Russell, obviously being younger. It wasn't so good for the Red Bull fans, but I think even most of us would not care. it was a great weekend. So
yeah. So we'll run through the race quickly. So Mercedes starting on the front row, and Russell got away very well.
They both had a good start.
Yeah, because I thought maybe they'd have to be holding off the Red Bulls, who were starting third and fourth, but they seemed to get away quite well. Their car was just obviously set up pretty nicely for the weekend. Yeah. First time, it seems like they've been tuned in.
Nailed it, really.
And their strategy as well held up for them.
Yeah.
So there was an incident. Daniel Ricciardo hit Kevin Magnussen at turn 8. a few different opinions on this one.
Yeah.
I think Daniel Ricciardo went for a space that wasn't there, but on the first lap, things like that I feel were normally brushed under the carpet.
Yeah, I don't know if I even agree with that. I think it was tight, but I think there was a gap there. I think it was a bit overambitious, but I would not have penalised it.
Because he's now received a 3-place grid penalty.
And yeah, it's massive. I mean, that's a lot worse than a 5-second penalty, which you could argue it should have been at minimum, yeah. I think. There's an argument for that. But to have a 3-place penalty at the next race, I mean, I don't see how they can justify that.
No.
It seems a lot more stringent than even in this race and the sprint race, worse incidents who have got lesser penalties.
Yeah, with the Stroll one, for example.
And didn't take as long to come out with it. Like,
yeah, and I think maybe because they both ended up, Kevin Magnussen and Daniel Ricciardo, both ended up out of the race, maybe the punishment, we spoke about that last week, the punishment being more severe when drivers can no longer compete because you've ruined...
They say they don't take that into consideration, right? They don't... You have to be consistent.
Yeah.
Like... And I don't think it is consistent. If that had happened and they'd touched and they'd both kept it on the... Well, if Magnussen had kept it on the track, nothing would have happened out of that.
Yeah.
If it was only because he spun and then took
he
out Ricciardo as well when
Ricciardo
tried to go round. Like, I don't know. I just think that one maybe is a bit harsh.
Yeah, I think definitely on the harsher side. Yeah. To carry on into next week...
Yeah.
But then I guess when they're both out of the race, you're forced to do that.
Yeah.
So that did cause a safety car to come out to clear it all up. And on lap 6, it came in. And then after the restart, you have Verstappen and Hamilton are like side by side going through like turn 1 and turn 2 down in the S's.
It was, some real PTSD from last season here.
Yeah, pretty much. And they did make contact at turn 2, which damaged Max's front wing. And it did also damage Hamilton's car. And some people reckon he lost 0.2 seconds per lap because of that damage. But that seems, if that's true, then he had a cracking race.
I can't remember how he was tracking to Russell. I don't think he was like losing or... that much time to Russell, was he?
Hamilton,
yeah.
In the closing stages.
Well, like
or
throughout
the
race, I wasn't
he
really
was going similar. I mean,
similar sort of speed, I thought, but not.
George did get
gaining.
The fastest lap, but I think that they were going quite similar speed, so he wasn't.
Yeah, because I mean, you'd expect maybe. Obviously, I think Russell is leading the over Hamilton.
Yes, he is. Yeah.
But I would still say Hamilton's faster, the better driver.
Yeah. I know, especially at Brazil, is a good track.
Yeah, so I can believe that. I could, because I would maybe expect him to be a bit faster than Russell, and because he wasn't. This was quite a controversial one, I suppose, this crash, just because of the drivers involved.
Yeah, I think so, and what was said after the race. But we'll get onto what they said a bit later.
We'll
but
come back to it.
It did give Max a 5-second penalty. I watched it with my brother, and shout out to him. He's a Red Bull fan, disgusting, and he does like Max, and he accuses me of not liking Max, which who knows if that's true. And I said, like, Max has gone for a space that wasn't there, and his exit out of turn one, like, he went too fast around turn one, so he couldn't get into turn two quickly. He couldn't get into turn two correctly. And he was applying the throttle still, even at the point that they were making contact.
I think I would disagree on the first part. I think there was a space. They're side by side further, like, before the corner.
Yes, before the corner, yeah.
But because he's not... The rule state, you have to have, like, half the car length alongside.
Yeah.
And you have to have a reasonable expectation of making the corner.
Yeah.
And I think at the speed he was going, if Hamilton had gone a lot wider and given him more space at the corner, then Verstappen, and they hadn't crashed, Verstappen would have made the track. He would have stayed on the track, but Hamilton then wouldn't.
Would have had
and
to
I think
go
that's where it's
track.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I think a 5-second is fair.
Yeah, because I think he had I don't know if he had any intention of making the corner, but the speed he was carrying into it, he knew he wasn't going to make that corner.
I think he wouldn't have taken the correct line. He would have been, you know, sweeping round. He would have hit the other side of the track. He would have stayed on the track, I think. But because Hamilton is also there, he's allowed to remain on the line, and he then has no chance of making that, and therefore Verstappen should have pulled out. If Hamilton had backed down, as sometimes he does or sometimes other drivers do, then there obviously wouldn't have been a penalty. And that's Max's style. It's just...
Max is go for it, and if you get hit, you get hit, and if you hit someone, you hit someone.
Yeah,
but he doesn't pull back.
No, and it's a tactic. I like it. I like someone who goes
for it. I think sometimes... it's a bit reckless, and when you're endangering lives, you're endangering lives. But
this kind of thing, you're making a bit of contact. It can be.
This kind of incident was a bit different.
Yeah,
this one was a bit different. But there was also, on the same lap, Norris and Leclerc had their little collision, which did result in Norris also having a 5-second penalty. So there was penalties flying all over the place.
Norris was probably quite happy. A lot of stuff has overshadowed. There was a photo of Leclerc driving past with his
middle finger up. Yeah, I saw.
I think he was just telling him that he was going to be number one driver, as
I think that's
the legend would say himself. But
so Charles ended up in the barrier, but he somehow managed to get out of it with not too much damage, and he just carried on.
He has not been happy this season at his team, has not had a lot of luck. He's often made mistakes. But this race, he just sort of nothing can stop me determination just to defy. He went in the barriers. We thought it was over or it was damaged, and he just gets back on and keeps going.
Yeah.
It was, I was very impressed with Leclerc today.
So Verstappen had to come into the pits for a new front wing, and he got new front wing and new tyres and the pit. He was stationary for 10 seconds.
Mm.
That's insane.
It's pretty good.
To put a new wing on, you're normally looking at 13, 15 seconds. They were 10 seconds. That pit crew, what are they? They must have been about 10 Red Bulls before the race, just like chugging them down.
Wings. I mean, what can you say?
They definitely do have wings. That was crazy. I was just watching it. Like, is the timing wrong on the screen? I can understand it. So then Russell... by lap 15, he's starting to open up a lead. He's more than 1 second, so he's got outside the DRS zone. So I think that was quite impressive, but I guess he wasn't, I guess, in the fastest car this weekend.
Yeah,
so
I mean, it's...
it was expected.
I think you can't fault him. He drove great. He drove great. I mean, it helps when you have the fastest car. I think Russell is a good driver, and he's shown that before. And then, when the car delivers, you need the good driver to be there, and he was there. So.
And Hamilton was obviously dropped down into the pack after his collision with Verstappen, but he was then, at that point, starting to make his way back through. And I think he put in some good moves. He was going quite well, because it's sometimes accused of Hamilton that he doesn't know how to race in the pack, especially from some of the other, the other drivers, like Sebastian and Fernando Alonso, like this year, they've kind of said this guy doesn't know how to race in the pack, whereas I guess they're world champions that maybe have more experience.
Yeah, he's been on top for so long. And then even within the team, been top for so long. Yeah, I mean, you're gonna maybe forget or struggle to get used to it, but I mean, in the past he's shown he's good at it, and he is. I mean, I think it's wrong to say otherwise, but I don't know. It's just when you lose that recent experience, sometimes you forget. Maybe you got to be like, when to be aggressive, when not to. That didn't happen this race, though.
He was
on fire.
He was on fire this race, and not in the same way that Carlos Sainz's brake was on fire. Lap 22, he comes in for new tires. I think he went on to the softs.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to come in because there was a tear-off stuck in his brake duct. And that's been a real problem this season. It's not one that I feel happened too much in the seasons before. Maybe it's the new aerodynamics of the car.
I've never really noticed it, but...
but it seems to be
times this season,
quite
least,
a lot. And I don't really know what you can do about that.
No.
Because you need the tear-offs there.
Maybe a little pouch they could put them in. I don't know. It's quite hard while you're driving to not just let go. But yeah, I mean, it was smoking quite heavily when the camera, when they're changing the tyres. And then we sort of thought it was extinguished. Then it wasn't. It was still smoking. But yeah, going to that 300 kilometres an hour, whoosh, just did extinguish it in the end. So.
Yeah, he got lucky there. He did get lucky that it wasn't any more serious. But then from a lap 22, he was having to work his way back through the pack for something that, you know, you don't really... It's not really your fault.
No.
It's not like you've tapped someone and you've had to come in, or you've run over some debris. It's just... Yeah. It's unlucky. It's unfortunate. And it's definitely something that's problematic, but there's no easy solution to it, I guess. So lap 23... Leclerc comes in for his second stop. Mm. So it's not going quite to plan at this point for Charles Leclerc. And he goes on to the softs, dropping him to 17th on the grid. And considering that you've got two drivers out of the race.
Yeah.
He's the penultimate driver on track. So
at this point, it is looking like another, especially with Sainz in the brakes and this, is looking like another Ferrari disaster.
Yeah.
Albeit... not caused by Ferrari for once.
No.
You know, it was out of their control.
So Perez then come in the lap after Leclerc, which was another incredible stop. 2 seconds, I think it was 2:05 or something crazy, crazy quick. But he did come out behind Bottas. I guess they were like, we have to go now and just do some crazy quick stop. But it didn't quite work out. So he did lose time. In trying to get past Bottas.
There was some strategy errors from Red Bull this race. This looks like one. I don't know if coming in a lap earlier or staying out a lap later, maybe you could have gotten around that. But yeah, this was really unfortunate because it did hamper him.
Because then Verstappen had to come in for his pit stop, which was 10.7 seconds. And obviously 5 of that was the penalty. Mm. I know they always end a bit... They do 6 seconds, so they don't have to repeat it. But that's still quite a slow stop from going from a 2 second pit stop to a 5 second.
I think you just get out of rhythm, because you're waiting and you know that's going to feel like an eternity. Yeah. But it obviously did hamper him quite a bit. So
yeah. And not long after that, Russell comes in to the pits, which he didn't really want to do. I think he thought that his tyres were going well, but they pit him to cover the Red Bulls, which I guess when you look at the result of the race makes it a bit interesting, because you think, oh, were they really in the race with the Red Bulls? Yeah, sort of. But they covered them off, so I guess they did feel like that was their main threat for the win.
I think it was them being, I suppose because they are used to being in front, but they seem to take the initiative a little bit more there and think, okay, we need to cover, we need to prepare, which is a bit more than what Red Bull's been doing. So despite it, you know, probably would have been fine either way. I think it was a good decision.
Yeah, I think it was the right decision in the long run, but you have had the drivers question the drivers quite a lot this year. But Russell managed to go into the pits and come back out into the race lead, which is something a Mercedes hasn't done for quite a long time. So that was very impressive that he managed not to lose any track position.
Yeah.
I think he did come out behind Hamilton actually, but he didn't lose any more places. And I think
because once Hamilton pitted,
Hamilton then pit a few laps later after that, come onto the medium tyres as well.
Yeah, and I think he did say his tyres were fine.
Yeah, but he started on the softs, and 30 laps on the softs is quite.
Or maybe it was
quite
the next pit stop, but I know he was. It might have been the next pit stop, possibly.
Yeah,
that he was moaning about that.
So lap 37, like halfway through the race, Sainz pits again, another stop for the medium. So it seemed like the Ferraris were shooting themselves in the foot with all these pit stops, but Leclerc and Verstappen running still outside the points, which I guess like halfway through the race, they've still not made their way through the pack, was kind of surprising, I guess. Maybe less so for Leclerc because of his injury in terms of his car damage being in the wall. But
no, for both of them,
yeah.
If they were going to really challenge you'd expect them to be cleared all the midfield pretty much.
And by this point, like halfway through, the two Mercedes and Perez, they've got quite a big... They're doing quite well at the front of three of them, because when Sainz pits, he comes out and he's 30 seconds off of the leaders, which is a pit stop plus another 8-9 seconds. That's quite a significant amount of time. And, you know, just when Ferrari, I guess they were so far off it last weekend, but that was an anomaly, I think. It was quite interesting. By lap 40, Russell's got 8 seconds over Perez. So I guess this is when you're really starting to realise maybe the Red Bulls
not quite got the pace
this weekend. Do you think that's because they had their engines turned down, or
I don't know. I think I can't really see Verstappen, especially some stuff later, but I can't really see him agreeing to that. I think he's fighting for every win. It may have been necessity out of, you know, not wanting to have another engine. Maybe just they couldn't afford.
Yeah, with the budget cap, I doubt they want to be making any more.
Do the same error. So issues. I think it's very possible. I would normally say it's just the track, which is possible, but they haven't had that much variation throughout the season.
Yeah.
You know, last year it was much more. Okay, Mercedes are way faster now, Red Bull are faster now, like depending on the track, but it might just not be as noticeable because no one's been as close, so you're not seeing that leapfrog.
Yeah, that's a very good point. They're not in a direct battle for the constructors with anyone, so if they have had that variability, maybe other teams have had that same variability, or maybe they've just been so far in the lead, they can have an off week and still
come
good. So Leclerc made his third pit stop on lap 45 out of 71. So he's
getting through them.
He's getting through them. I don't even know how many tyres they had left by this point. No. And then he drops down to 14th. So he's still running quite outside the points. And in terms of like time down on the leaders, he was way down on them. And Hamilton also, he gets past Perez into turn one. It was quite a nice move, just had the DRS on the straight and then got him into turn one.
Yeah, I was watching the I had the Channel 4 commentary.
Oh yeah.
And it was inevitability of that move was, I mean, he called it I can't remember which one of them said it, but I called it about three corners before. I said, just wait. It will be like Perez doesn't have a 1% chance of defending this. The car sailed past. It was textbook. I mean, you couldn't defend that. So, yeah. What Hamilton's used to, having a good car under him.
Having a good car and getting people on the DRS.
Yeah, getting people on the track.
Nice and easy. So around lap 48, that's when people start pitting other than the Ferraris who have been in the pits about 10 times. That's when people start pitting again. So Perez comes in for the medium and Hamilton comes in for the soft. And I feel like this was the defining moment for Red Bull when they made this strategy. Obviously, Hamilton started on the soft, then went to the mediums, then went to the soft. And maybe Red Bull just didn't have that in the garage to put on. But it did seem... You're coming in the same lap, and one's going on to softs. They were scrub softs. They'd been, I think they had six or something laps on them, and then you're putting on the mediums on another car. You know how that's gonna end.
Yeah,
up.
It was a foregone conclusion, really, especially when you have hard data pretty much from the same thing happening in the sprint race with the same tire difference and being about the same amount of laps that you've got left here. It's just. Yeah, it was almost like, I don't know what the tyre combination was. I know they did that so they would have an extra pair of softs, but...
Because Hamilton did question this strategy. This is when he was on the radio saying, my tyres are good, my tyres are good. But I think that they just wanted to cover off Perez. And he ended up coming out the pits 2 seconds ahead of Perez on the faster compound. So I guess it was a very good move.
It was a good strategy call, and that's where, in other cases, them questioning it, they've been right, but... This one, they had more data. They knew what they were doing. They knew the compounds of the tyres. The mediums, I think Hamilton was on before.
Yeah, he was.
They were still fine, but they knew the softs could go the distance. They knew they'd get out of the head, yeah, having the faster tyre.
He went 30 laps on them in the first stint. And in the sprint race, he did the whole thing on the softs. They knew that the tyres held up.
They did, yes.
So it was definitely the right call at the time.
Yeah.
Two laps after that, lap 50, Russell comes in 20 seconds ahead of Sainz, who's in second because of like how the pit stops have worked out on that. Mm. And he comes out 2 seconds in the lead. So he's got another beautiful pit window. Yeah. It was a bit close. You could see Sainz coming down the straight and you could see Russell coming out the pit exit. But it worked out really well. We've questioned Mercedes' strategy quite a bit. But this race, they seem to all be singing the same
tune.
Back on top. So then a bit of late drama, I guess, going on. Lap 52, Lando stopped on track. It just turned a bad weekend into a terrible weekend with two DNFs for McLaren, losing out so many points in the championship battle with Alpine. And Lando had food poisoning, bless him.
And, it was
his
really
birthday,
ill.
23rd birthday, I think.
Yeah.
And
this weekend. So, yeah, you felt for him. He did look drained after he got out of the car. And just you're going to be, obviously, he wasn't very well. It's not been a good race. So then you just know that you're pretty much lost that battle now, unless something crazy happens. But
yeah. And he stopped at the exit of turn 10, which initially caused a virtual safety car. But I think it was quite clear they weren't going to be able to get the car off. There was no escape road nearby. So they did have to fill out a full safety car, which lasted for 5 laps. And there was a bit of some people joking about the cars being unlapping themselves. Hmm. And a few comments about some incidents last year. I don't know what happened last year with the safety car incident with some cars unlapping themselves. Who knows what that was about? But Tsunoda,
lost to time, lost to memory. We don't need to.
Tsunoda didn't go
didn't tell him he could, I think, was the
normally
issue.
Normally when they say unlap yourself, you go past the safety car and then you just catch up with the back. But he kind of waited until the race started and then just like fell back.
Sort of slowed down.
It was really confusing to watch.
I think the issue was they didn't tell him he could unlap. They were like, lapped cars, so-and-so, unlap now. And they never got told that. You feel like you would just go.
Yeah.
Like, you know you've been lapped. Very strange.
Very strange. And some Red Bull fans out there saying that George's win gets thrown into doubt because of it. But I think they're just having a bit of fun.
I think that's the old... we got nothing else to talk about. We did terribly this race. Let's have a joke.
So lap 60, when the race resumes, there's a lot of... The radio waves are lighting up. Mm. And George asks if he can race, and they said yes, just respectfully, which I think was just because they knew that they were in a good position for a 1-2 and they didn't want anything to mess with that.
And it's mostly been their sort of philosophy, I suppose, over the last few years anyway.
It's always
race respectfully, and I like that.
I like that as well. But Ocon, he wants to go, and I think it was Vettel ahead of him, he wants to go and overtake Vettel, but Alonso's behind him. And Alonso's on fresher tyres, quicker tyres. So he's told, don't fight Alonso when he comes past you. And Ocon...
Not a happy bunny.
Not a happy bunny about that. He was like saying he wanted to go and overtake in front. And they were like, if you can catch the person in front, do it.
Yeah.
But if not, don't fight Alonso. And maybe this also brewing over from the day before. Yeah. But he did sound like a bit of a child on the radio. That might be a bit harsh.
I think it's, I mean, I've got to, I suppose I've got to use the same logic I'd use to drivers I like more, but you're in the heat of the moment, you're gonna have that, especially when you've had drama obviously before with the stewards saying that was Alonso's fault, giving him a penalty, so you're not gonna want to be as friendly with your teammate. But obviously not the right call, not the right thing to be saying, but you can kind of understand.
You can understand it, but when they've crashed the day before,
you'd think
the team's just
nice,
trying to protect the points. Yeah. They're running in the points, both of them. The McLaren are both out. They really just need to finish.
Alpine way of doing it, if both cars take each other out, it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. So, lap 33, Sainz is past Perez, and then Leclerc gets past Perez as well. So Perez is definitely starting to struggle after the restart. He didn't have the tire for it.
Really fell away.
He really just fell away. It wasn't a good ending for him.
No.
Because then, a few laps later, Alonso gets past him as well, up for P5 for Alonso, which is a cracking result. And then
especially where he started.
Yeah. Verstappen gets put past Perez. He was quicker, but also Perez didn't fight it because they were told he can go and get Alonso.
Verstappen, this is what I was confused because I thought he was. Verstappen was not told before that he would have to give the position back.
Uh-huh.
He was just I don't know if he was even told to go through. I know Perez was.
I think they were like, let Max through to chase Alonso.
Yeah. But I don't know if Verstappen had been told that. Not that that really changes what we're about to get into, but just, you know, it wasn't like he'd agreed to something and then went back on it. He was faster as well, so...
Yeah. So then lap 71, the checkered flag comes out. I'll run us quickly through the finishing and then we'll get on to our thoughts. So George Russell, maiden win, and he got the bonus point for the fastest lap. So he got 8 points, right, for the sprint race, and then 26 points for
the race.
So he's got 34 points from the weekend.
It's not a bad...
Not a bad day's work, or 2 days' work, as it turned out. So Lewis completed a Mercedes 1-2, first British 1-2 since 2010. Yeah. I actually have... My final thoughts today will be about the 1-2.
We'll come back to that later,
but stay tuned.
No, very impressive.
Carlos Sainz, Charles Leclerc, then...
Just a Ferrari 3-4. I mean, we've been alluding to this the whole time because of how... crazy there, everything, the multiple pit stops, the unluckiness, but to end up 3 and 4.
Oh, it was incredible.
That's a gift from God, isn't it?
Yeah, Charles Leclerc was coming on the radio saying, like, let me through. I think
about the championship,
when it's for
like,
a podium,
you know,
it's a bit different.
Yeah.
Because, like, Carlos had every right for the podium.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was 4 or 5 seconds up the road. And I know, obviously, Charles wanted the points for getting second in the constructors. But...
I mean, that's more driver pride, right? There's no money for that. So, I think I agree with that. It's a podium place. If it was fourth and fifth, you'd swap the drivers, but...
Yeah, but the team
Charles
gets the same
that.
Points either
yeah,
way.
Yeah, exactly. So that is more comes down to Leclerc.
Alonso finishing P5 because Max couldn't get past him in the end. That was, I would say, surprising considering he started in 17th.
Yeah,
it was a cracking race for him.
He's fast.
He's fast.
He's always been fast, and he still is.
He made up 12 places.
Yeah.
In the race. Which is pretty crazy. I know that there were 3 DNFs and they all did start above him.
Yeah.
But that's still 9 places. That would still be the most out of anyone on the grid. Disappointing day then for Red Bull, finishing 6th and 7th.
Yeah.
But Esteban Ocon rounding out a good day for the Alpines.
Yeah.
A bunch
they
of
had
points.
Their drama, but... impressive in the end.
Very impressive. 9th was Valtteri Bottas. I think... good to
solid.
Get in the points,
yeah,
solid.
Solid race,
kind of flew under the radar, but he had a lovely tash. If anyone hasn't seen his tash,
God.
Google it. He just, he looks like a predator.
He does a little bit.
But I think it suits him.
There's a nice photo of him and Joe going out for dinner, and he's got his lovely stash. Go look at that. It's nice.
Wholesome content. Yeah. Lance Stroll having a good day, I'd say, getting into 10th.
Yeah.
Aston Martin haven't been having a cracking season this year, so.
No.
And then he did beat out Sebastian Vettel, obviously.
10th and 11th for them.
Yeah, that's good. Joe was in 12th, Mick in 13th, Gasly 14th, Albon and Latifi 15th and 16th, and then Yuki, a bit disappointed, down in 17th. He started in the pit lane because of changes under Parc Fermé, but I guess they've not been that competitive, but I would have thought he'd have got past the Williams.
The two of the Williams. Bit of a shake-up in the order at the top and a few surprises, but... overall, good race, some good points for some teams, important points for Alpine.
Yeah, they've now got 19 points over McLaren, so
that's,
I think that's insurmountable.
Yeah, they'd need to both be out the points and both.
You're looking McLaren's at like third, fourth finish for McLaren. So
race of the season. So no, I don't think so.
I don't think so. After the sprint race, I thought yes.
Yeah.
And considering that the Alpines were starting 17th and 16th.
Yeah, I thought they could close.
I thought it was
get ahead really. Get ahead.
Yeah. But obviously, with Daniel Yule having the crash and then Norris having the technical failure, it just didn't go their way. So we'll talk a bit about the team orders playing a big role, because the Max and the Checo one, we can kind of, like, from my opinion, I think second in the championship isn't really that important, but it's also when you've already won the Drivers' Championship and the Constructors, why not try and get
right?
it?
Yeah, right. He said, I told you already last time, you guys don't ask that again to me, okay? Are we clear about that? I gave my reasons and I stand by it.
It did sound quite aggressive.
It was passionate, some ardent supporters would say. I would say aggressive. It was.
He was told to let... He said, if you can't get Alonso, let Perez back.
Well, he wasn't... He was only told at the end, he was like, to then give the place back, I think. Which still... Because this is why I say, like, people saying, oh, well, you've agreed to... He didn't agree to that. But I think as a teammate, as you're saying, like, the amount that Perez has done for him and given him the place, you pay that back. Sure, you are the number one driver. It's clear you're the number one driver. But you are gaining nothing more. You're not getting a podium. The points don't matter.
Yeah, we're talking about sixth in a race. Like,
it just...
that's not where they thought they would be. That's not where they wanted to be.
I mean, Max is... especially when he was younger, he's much more aggressive. He's, you know, but he definitely seems to have mellowed a bit. And this kind of aggressive, I'm trying to think of a non-swear word to describe this. It just seems like a really, like he was being a jerk.
Yeah.
And he says about these reasons, he wouldn't say the reasons.
No, a lot of interviews, he was just like, it's in the past.
Yeah.
And I think he was alluding perhaps to Monaco.
People mentioned that there's rumors, unsubstantiated, obviously, from some Dutch journalists, which again, I think who it originated from wasn't that reliable. Someone else has agreed he's a bit more reliable, but that it was in Monaco. Perez crashed on purpose during qualifying to secure third place. It makes no sense to me, really. That people have looked at the telemetry and saying he had 100% on the throttle. As he went around the corner.
But then...
I just don't see why you would ever do it.
The Ferrari did the exact same carbon copy of the incident. So I think if it was isolated, maybe, but then the fact that you then have a few seconds later the Ferrari doing the exact same thing in the exact same position, ended up hitting each other because they're in the same place.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
I think Ferrari were in on it as well, I really don't think that there's much by that. But if Max believes it, then...
Yeah, I mean, it's possible that Max just believes it. I mean, I think it'd be kind of crazy because they would have the most data. They could talk about it. They could look at it. The only other thing, Perez obviously went on to win that race. And then during the celebrations, I think he was a bit... He was partying, and I think there was a bit of an issue. I think he was maybe at least kissing another woman, and he had to apologize publicly to his wife.
Yeah.
It's possible with like Max's family history, maybe, that he takes that thing very seriously, and he just thinks that he's taken that personal judgment on Checo onto track. It's weird that it would only come up now, so I'm not suggesting that's the reason. It's just because when they mentioned Monaco, he sort of didn't deny it.
He said, you can decide for yourselves, which I think is saying yes, but I'm not going to say yes.
No.
We touched on the Ocon Alonso as well. I think that this is just... I think they were saying by the end of it, it's one more race.
Yeah.
We've got one more race. Just get through it. And then they're at different teams and they can hate each other.
Especially since they then got good points this race, I think it's not worth the fighting.
No, definitely not.
You just
not.
Keep them apart, move on.
The Carlos and Charles one did surprise me a bit, though. So Carlos was doing his own race. Yeah. He was kind of, like, not really anyone's direct competition, but he was doing his own thing, doing well. And then, obviously, Charles was messed around with the incident, ended up in the wall. But to come on the radio begging for
really
the position, begging, like, please, guys, think of the championship, think of the championship. It made him sound desperate. Obviously, at the beginning of the season, he probably thought that it was...
You were fighting for first.
He's fighting for the championship.
Like, second. I just don't know. I suppose it is important to them, like, even saying second over third, like, it's got to be, like, just that moral hit of, like, that confidence hit of thinking, at the start I was fighting for first and I've ended up third.
Yeah.
But even then, to get it that way doesn't feel quite as...
No, and I think Carlos deserved the podium. Yeah. And I think he had a solid race, flew a bit under the radar, but I think it's a bit different swapping sixth and seventh than it is third and fourth, especially when Carlos hasn't had that many podiums.
Yeah,
just like, why would you deny him?
Yeah.
That one felt a bit weird. So a lot of team shenanigans going on.
Especially where Ferrari, they don't have so much the first and second driver as much as Red Bull.
Yes.
Like, I think it's very clear and they believe that, whereas Ferrari have always been a bit more open about, like, that they can both fight for stuff and the winner wins.
Yeah. I think we'll touch on also Max's comments about the Hamilton incident, because we both interpreted this quite differently.
Yeah.
Do you want to read out the quote?
Yeah, so Max said, this was an interview afterwards, "To be honest, I went around the outside and I immediately felt he was not going to leave space. I just went for it. He didn't leave me space, so I knew we were going to get together. It cost him the race win. For me, it gave me 5 seconds. It wouldn't have mattered anything for my race because we were just way too slow." So, do you want to say how you interpreted it? Because it is different.
I interpreted that as he didn't crash on purpose, but he didn't avoid it purposefully.
Yeah.
He knew they were going to crash and he did it anyway, and he knew that it was going to have a greater impact on Hamilton's race than his own. So he didn't feel that he needed to get out of it, out of the position, because if he caused a crash, it hurt Hamilton more than it hurt him, so he might as well
hit
him.
I suppose I pretty much agree with that. I think he's sort of saying that he can't understand why Hamilton wouldn't move, because obviously in his mind he had the right to be there, and in a sense he did, he was alongside, but like that thing of we're gonna crash, he knew we were gonna crash. Normally a driver would say, okay, that crash, I've gone for the move, so that could be on me.
Yeah,
I'm gonna slow down, I'm gonna pull out. But in his mind he might as well fight for it, because his car, you know, the car was not fast enough this race, whereas, you know, Hamilton's was. So he's thinking, why he can't comprehend why Hamilton wouldn't pull out, because it's ruined his chance.
It's ruined his chance for the win. Yeah.
But I think that is more just obviously trying to put yourself in that driver's, who's not going to think he's totally wrong, is he? No driver is. So,
no.
I don't think it's as maybe like bitter and harsh as some people have come across. But it's just, isn't it? Maybe he could have toned that down a bit. I think you're not in a championship battle.
After, like, anymore. Perez saying on the radio, it shows who he really is. To then come out and make this comment about Hamilton, maybe if it was just him saying that, it would have been a bit different. But on the weekend, and just immediately after the race, where his own teammate has said, it shows who he really is, and doesn't mean that in a good way. Oh, no, it shows he's a great guy.
Yeah.
You know, it was used as an insult. Maybe he should have come out with a different attitude.
Yeah, I think people are already now in quite a highly critical viewpoint of him. So, yeah, to not take that into consideration. He doesn't really ever try and play the media that much, does he? Like, in that sense, like, he will just say what he thinks. But I think a better media communicator or his own team should have warned him, just stay quiet on that
one. Stay calm, stay quiet, and withhold it.
Hopefully the next race will be a little bit less dramatic.
Hopefully. Well, I like the drama, that's why we watch it.
Yeah, that's true.
Going into Abu Dhabi, Charles Leclerc Sergio Perez, both on 290 points.
Yeah.
Harry, who are you calling it?
It's the spirit of Michael Masi has one last, you know, one last burst. He couldn't quite get the championship two to be tied, but, you know, these two. I think I'm going to say Perez, because if you look over the season, I think the Red Bull has been faster.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think about Abu Dhabi. There is that long straight.
Mm-hmm. They have better.
And, you know, it didn't really happen here, but normally they have better straight line speed. So I think I'm going to go with Perez.
Yeah. Well, just to be different, I'll go with Charles Leclerc. Just yeah.
I think, obviously, it comes down to one race. It could go either way, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who was your driver of the day for Brazil?
I'm going to go Leclerc, I think, just because I think you've got a... We talked a bit. I think you've got a better one, but I think just because of those pit stops and because he hit the barrier, and it just felt like another disastrous one to then finish fourth, and I think that would be it. Only because... I'm not sure I can quite give it to the Mercedes drivers, but really a very special mention to Russell and Hamilton, but Russell in particular. He is a little bit overshadowed by all this drama, but he really did deserve it. It's a great first win.
And he dominated the race.
Did, yeah, it was his race to win, and he did.
Yeah. Mine is Alonso. Just everyone loves Alonso, and... He had a cracking race. He finished in fifth, which is a very, very, very strong finish. But I think the main reason is he kept Max behind him at the end. But with so many incidents in the race, so many five-second penalties, so many crashes, so many, like, I think everybody else had some sort of thing going on.
Yeah.
And I think he managed to just keep his head down and stay calm and get the result when other people were. Charles Leclerc ended up in the wall.
Yeah.
That wasn't his own fault, but it just felt like everybody else's day had some sort of blemish, but he managed to do it quite well, like a smooth operator, you know? Yeah,
especially coming from the back. Like,
yeah, he worked his way out the field. Yeah. He stayed out of trouble and he got on
well deserved.
Well deserved. We'll give him a round of applause.
Right.
Time for our favourite section.
Thoughts.
Harry, what's your final thoughts?
Oh dear, I thought you were going to go first.
No, mine's...
I'm freezing up, I'm panicking. My final thoughts. Okay. I've got a calendar in my mind.
Okay.
For next year.
Yep.
And it is 5 races at Silverstone.
Okay.
I want 5 races at Interlagos here in Brazil. Yep. I want 5 races at Spa.
Yep.
And I want 5 races at Malaysia. I want them to bring it back.
Yeah, I like
Malaysia.
And I just
think, why have we got all these rubbish tracks? Why can't we do a sort of a 2020 style thing? We have multiple ones at the same track.
Yeah, let's
do it.
You know,
screw the fans who want to go. We can't afford it anyway, most of these places. Let's just go around here like 10 times.
Yeah, I'm down. And you can go forwards, backwards.
Yeah, exactly.
Left to right, mirror, right to left.
Like the Mario Kart mirror. Turn it up to 200cc.
Oh, get some crazy stuff going on then.
I just think that would be great. And it's climate friendly, cut down on travel.
Boom! Harry, you genius.
There's no negatives.
We're going to write in to the FIA. So be looking out for our
for that
email.
Change coming up, yeah.
It's going to be happening next year. 5 British home races for Hamilton and 5 Brazilian home races for Hamilton. Yeah. So he'll spend half the season
at home.
He needs
some love, you know. I just think he needs that support.
All right, my final thoughts.
Take us
home, Ellie. All right. As our lovely listeners know, I'm from Essex. Essex is the
and
greatest...
And that's all the time we have today. Thank you for listening.
Essex is the greatest county in the world, okay? And it happens to be in the east. And the people in the east, when they turn on the news, they watch Look East. Okay, bear with me. I was watching the race with my brother, also from Look East region. He's from Essex. And I said to him, oh, Susie Fowler-Watt's going to be on a mad one tonight, because it was an east, a Look East, 1-2.
It was a Look East 1-2.
Exactly. You've got George Russell.
He's Norfolk, isn't he? Norfolk
from Kings Lynn. You've got Lewis Hamilton from Stevenage. And then we'll throw it in and we'll go for a 3 and a 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Because you've got the Red Bull in Milton Keynes.
Yeah.
And we'll also throw in a nice 15th place as well. Alex Albon, also from Milton Keynes. And guess what? Aston Martin are based at Silverstone. All right, so we'll throw in a cheeky 10th and 11th. And Silverstone is in the east. So what I'm saying is that Look East, on a Sunday after a race, they always tell you how they did because they're from the region.
I'm going to cut this. You can keep going.
These are the best final thoughts. My final thoughts is that the east is the best region out of any region in the world at Formula One. It includes the home of Formula One Silverstone and the greatest racing driver of all time, Lewis Hamilton. So that's my final thoughts.
Wow, what a load of rubbish from Ellie. Cannot help yourself, can you? Gotta bring it back to Essex. I was going to say it's been a pleasure, but you've really soured the episode.
Well, I've got a massive smile on my face, so...
I'm glad no one else can see that. It's horrifying. please end this.
Well, thank you for listening, if indeed you still are.
Yeah.
I've been your host, Ellie Ledwell.
And I've been Harry McKay.
Thank you.
We'll see you for Abu Dhabi.
Yes.